this is the way life was. This is the way our ancestors lived. This is how it is. This is how it was until we somehow intervened. I think by not working against nature, this is enough. Do not work against nature.
Hey y'all, I'm Brian Pagan. Welcome to episode 6 of Mindfolk, Human Creativity and Mindful Innovation in a Podcast. Here I'm speaking with my good friend, Abdallah Shaheen. When we met 2 years ago in Egypt, we clicked immediately. And so far, I've actually never been to Cairo without spending a little bit of time with him. Also, I'm elated to congratulate him and his wife, Brecht, on getting married recently. In this episode, we discuss what the permaculture philosophy means for humankind, how a professional crisis sent Abdallah on a path to spiritual awakening, and we discuss what superpowers we'd have if humankind lived closer to nature. But we begin with the story of two friends they made in Turkey. Enjoy.
Farouk and his wife. So I go to a mosque nearby, and like every almost 5 times a day. And I meet this guy who doesn't speak English or Arabic. He only speaks Turkish. And we say hi, you know, just we see each other frequently. And I don't know how, like, we got to communicate sign language and then Google Translate. Yeah. And then he invited me and Brecht over to his place. And his place is in a valley, a very, very simple sort of shed. So this guy is very punctual, every prayer on time. He's very clean. He's, you know, always takes care of his looks. And I think he's maybe 60 something. And he invited us over, and he does garbage separation. So he's like recycling. And he lives there with his wife, a very, very happy and cheerful couple. And everything there is repurposed. Everything is reused. Me and Brecht, we went there and we spent almost 4 hours communicating without a common language. And you know, there is a human connection.
Wow. A human connection. I love that. It seems like you're really enjoying your time in Turkey these days. Your life has transformed completely since we met, no?
At that time, I co-founded a fintech startup in Egypt, and it was very intense, almost 2 years of nonstop chase, working day and night, and you don't have time to stop and think and ponder on important questions. Shortly after we met, something happened, and this startup had meant a lot to me. It was like security, it was the future, it was that I found my plan. That was my plan for the future. And suddenly this didn't materialize, and I was left with nothing. And that was a wake-up moment. It was, poof, that shaked me up. At that point, I got to ask myself the important questions. What's happening? What's the point of life? Yeah. And I'm really, while it was happening, that was the most painful experience I've ever had. I've dealt with loss before. I lost both parents in the past 9 years. So I knew loss, but that was very, very difficult one, because it was that was the whole plan I had. And suddenly you don't have any. Now looking back at that, that was the best thing. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. It made me stop and think. What is important? why keep going in the chase? And that was the major shift that happened in my life.
Was there a turning point for you?
I still remember I was in my bed crying and questioning God. Is there a God? Are you there? If you are there, why are you letting this happen? It was like, I still remember that moment. I was, that was the question. I was like, is there something as such a God, or is this just an illusion? If there's a God, you should intervene. You should not let such things happen. Around the same time, maybe in the same week or something, I came across some guy, an American math professor, telling his story and answering the question of why are we here? What's the point of life? I had this question I was trying to find an answer to for a long time, and I kept asking in my circles people who I thought they would know the answer, but I didn't get any satisfying answer. And here I find this guy. He's American, born to a Catholic family, turned an atheist. He was speaking at atheist conferences, and then one day he ran out of reading material, and then he finds a Quran, and he starts reading the Quran. And the way he interpreted this, and he gets the idea of why are we here, and that was, to me, that was like, whoa, here I am finding the answers to the nagging questions that I have. Here you go. This is what you need to do. And my life has been, I've never been happier. Never been more content. Life makes sense. You know, everything makes sense. Even suffering, that everything I suffered makes sense. So, that was amazing. His name is Jeffrey Lang, and he has this YouTube, The Purpose of Life. For Jeffrey Lang, it's an amazing an hour and a half.
So why are we here?
So you are on a training mission to learn compassion, to learn forgiveness, to learn to give, to learn. So you should actually start getting yourself to learn these things. You should actually, you are here on a training mission to learn how to tame your ego, to sort of put your ego in check. So it's, and you go through every day. Okay, let's go through this day. You go through life with intention.
You mentioned taming the ego. I would probably say this is the thing I've struggled with the most on my training mission on this earth. And so I'd love to hear how, like, an example of how you're learning to tame your ego.
I love to tease my ego by making her embarrassed. Okay, so I go through every day. I wake up really early. Wake up before, like at dawn, just before the first light, and I do pray, and our prayer is a mix of yoga postures and meditation, and then you have a dialogue sort of with the Creator, and you actually speak to the Creator. And in in this prayer, I get a feeling that I've never experienced in any different way. It's the sweetest feeling ever. And I tell you from experience, I've experienced a lot. You know, I've experienced sensual feelings legal or illegal, you know. But this one trumps any feeling I've ever experienced. But you don't get it every time. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you get a bigger dose, sometimes. So it's variable. And then it's depending on your state, how your heart is, how in tune with your nature and how in tune you are with the values that you want to embody. So this feeling becomes sort of your compass. Okay, if I did something that's not really in sync, I keep going through the day chasing that sweet feeling, not there. And then there was this day, I was telling Brecht, we were having a discussion, I was telling her about something, and then she got the impression that I did something big. I didn't do it, but she got the impression that I did something, you know? So the macho in me is like, yeah, and I didn't tell her, no, I didn't. So it was, so the ego in me was happy. It was, it had a boost that I actually did something big, but I actually didn't. And I let her believing that I did that. So I didn't say, no, I didn't do. And for the next 2-3 days, I am praying and nothing. I keep chasing that feeling. It's not there. And then in the prayer, I told you it's a dialogue. Yeah, and then in the dialogue, there is a verse that talks about those who like to be praised by things they didn't actually do. And I was like, that was it. And I go back to her and I tell her the truth and I put that little ego of mine in an embarrassing situation in front of her. And it's like, okay. And once that is out of the way, I got my sweet feeling again. And that was, you know, that was, it's an example of, so you go through life every day. And every decision you make, you actually ask yourself, does it align with the values that I want to teach myself or not? And then you move from one to the other. Again, there is this, the ego thing is one thing I noticed as well. The ego is natural. So everyone does have it sometimes, and this battle is real, and it will keep happening. It's a natural thing, so you shouldn't feel bad that it's happening. No, it's natural. It will happen, but the important thing is not to feed the ego by wanting to be victorious over the ego. So. It's like, I want to beat the ego, and that's you're actually feeding the ego more. So the important thing is to acknowledge when you see the ego actually pushing you to do something, do not yet, no, I am stronger than the ego. I'm stopping you. No, that's not how you do it. You just, that's you. Hello, ego. Thank you. We're not doing that this time.
I love when you tell me stories like this,
and you give me examples where they involve Brecht. I have the feeling that you both have a wonderful marriage, a wonderful relationship. And I mean, I'd love to, if you don't mind, I'd love to hear the story again of how y'all met.
I was volunteering for that farm there, Habiba Community Farm. And at this farm, you meet people from all around the world coming there to volunteer and learn about permaculture and healthier ways to experience life and what goes in your food and how to grow your own food. And she came to volunteer at Habiba. She was coming from Holland, and she came there. And the second day she arrived, she was asking Megat, who was the founder of the farm. She was asking him questions about something, about philosophical questions, and he was like, "You know what? I know someone who would have some answers to these questions." Yeah, and we met, and it was, she was asking the same questions that I was having. I just found answers to. So I was sharing what answers I had found, and it resonated with her so well. She is a biologist, so she knows about how things work, and she pondered on the different theories to explain life. But there are things that doesn't make sense, that didn't make sense to her. So about evolution and stuff, yeah, there are things that make sense, but there are parts that doesn't make sense. So so we kept talking for almost 2 weeks. And I left back to Cairo to get ready to go to Singapore. And she left to Holland, and then Corona happened. And we kept talking and sharing questions and sharing findings, and we built a connection that's I don't think I've ever had this connection with any human. She's a beautiful soul, and I'm very happy I met her, and it was like, it feels to me that it's a godsend. Like, I don't know how, but it feels like if God had tailored someone, just okay, you two are matched. So and then we decided we're getting together, and the guidance is you shouldn't have intimacy before marriage. And in Islam, it's a bit marriage is just like girlfriend, boyfriend in the Western culture, but in Islam it's called marriage. It's just, you know, it's just committing together, committing to each other, and approaching relationships with respect. So when the flights resumed, I actually talked to the imam at the local mosque. So it was Corona, and they weren't, gatherings weren't allowed and stuff like that. So I talked to this imam who doesn't speak Arabic or English. And I asked him, can you, using, I asked him using Google Translate.
Oh, wow.
I asked him, okay, so I ought to get married in 2 weeks. Would you be, would you mind being the man doing the ceremony? And he's like, yes. So, so he did the ceremony in Turkish. While I don't speak Turkish, Brett doesn't speak Turkish. So, so I had my niece translating from Turkish to English and Arabic, and translating the ceremony.
It was
amazing.
Could you tell me a little bit more about your time in Sinai?
Okay, so in Sinai, you meet like the natives are Bedouins. Bedouins are originally people who roam around in the desert. But in the past decade or two, they started settling down. So when you go there and you're actually living in their turf, like this is their own, they live there. They, so, you know, it's like you, when you visit someone who grew up in a place and they take you out and they show you around and they show you the places, but they take you to that tree that looks like, you know, and they take you to show you that rock that has sort of a painting, like a nature made painting inside it. So, these people lived their life there and they grew up there. And it's a sort of a secluded environment. So they have senses that we lost as people who live in the city. So we'd be sitting around the campfire and one of them would tell us, ah, Brian is coming. I'm like, okay, if you say so. And then maybe 10 minutes later, Brian will be showing up. How did you know? They actually can tell first that there is someone coming here. Like we're sitting all around the campfire, everyone is speaking, but they can actually listen and hear someone is coming.
Wow.
And then they can tell who is coming from the way they move on top of the sand. Like, whoa.
What?
It's, yeah. They have, we lost these senses. Another example was this old lady. Her name is Umm Ahmed. It was a cold day. It was in the morning and I was chatting with her and she asked me, are you feeling cold? I was like, yes, it's cold. And she looks up at the mountain and she tells me it's going to be war in 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, if you say so. And then 5 minutes later, it's war. I'm like, how did you know? And it appears that she actually looks at the sky and she sees a space between the clouds.
Mm.
And she looks at the clouds shadow over the mountain. And she knows the way, the direction the wind is coming. And she tells me, like, and this lady doesn't read or write. She didn't go to school.
Wow.
She was taught by nature. She was taught by nature.
That's amazing.
So,
being around those people and understanding a whole different way of living, almost a way of living that we could have had if civilization would have taken a different trajectory. What do you mean? What do you think about that kind of thing?
This is the way life was. This is the way our ancestors lived. So this is how it is. This is how it was until we somehow intervened. So I think by not working against nature, this is enough. Do not work against nature. If you just do that, that's enough.
Nice. What's next?
I'm actually starting a small business with my uncle. It's looking to do renewable energy because he has a great experience in the energy field. And we're trying to see how we can benefit from both worlds, the corporate world and high-tech world that I come from, and the experience he has in the energy sector. We'll see how this shapes up.
Thanks.
Thank you. Man. I really enjoyed that talk. It was always amazing talking with you.
Abdallah, my friend, I always enjoyed learning and exploring with you. And you, intrepid listener, what's your take on the purpose of life? Leave me a voice message through our website, mindfolkpod.com, or get in touch on Twitter and Instagram via @mindfolkpod. Special thanks to Zubin Nayak for the transcription. Until next time, dear one, fear less and love more.